And I want to bring into our panel attorney Scott Vernick out of Philadelphia, the prestigious law firm of Fox Rothschild. Let me start with you, Scott. I assume that what the plaintiffs are saying, or rather what the building management is saying, we put these cameras in there for a righteous cause because we were having a vandalism problem. We wanted to deter vandals or catch them in the act. What say you?
Hey, I say, listen, you know, righteous cause? You know, I don't know. They buried these things in smoke detectors. You know, there's a lots of other ways to get around or to deter vandalism if that's what you're really up to. I mean, you know, why not post a sign someplace? You know, on the bathroom door, inside the bathroom. I mean, why not have somebody check the bathroom from time to time? I mean, you know, this is like Pottygate in its sort of, you know, most purest form. I mean, really, guys? I mean, did you really think that by having cameras in there, someone wasn't going to raise an issue about it or raise a stink about it?
Well, here's what I don't get, Scott, and that is this. The cameras were installed in 2003, but they weren't even turned on for a number of years. So are we talking, well, first of all, for a company to install them in the bathroom and then not use them, it almost seems like, what's the point, number one?
Yeah, totally weird, right? I mean, as you say, you know, they put the cameras in 2003. They turned them on literally, you know, so the allegation is, for 3 days in 2007. Some, you know, employee working in the building stumbled across it. And, you know, then there was like, holy shit, what, you know, what's going on here? I mean, you got these cameras and the building says, listen, we only train the cameras to look at the common areas, you know, the wash basins and, you know, stuff like that. So the Court of Appeals in New Jersey says, listen, you know what? Let's let a jury of our peers make a decision. You know, is this a legitimate thing that somebody was doing, or is it really voyeurism and somebody put the cameras there for an improper purpose? You know, let the jury decide.
Now, here's what's interesting to me, Scott. Obviously, you have the 14th Amendment right to privacy. Let me ask you this, though. From a legal standpoint, nothing ever has to become of the video, correct? In other words, the video doesn't have to be distributed for there to be a claim. Just the mere fact that the cameras are in there is enough to potentially violate somebody's 14th Amendment rights.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just a question of whether the cameras are on or the cameras are not on. And it's really, I mean, forget about for a moment whether there's a constitutional violation. You know, you say once constitutional violation, everybody gets all, that's all sexy and it gets all sexed up. And, you know, there's just a basic common law right of privacy, you know, not to have your person invaded, not to have your seclusion invaded. And I don't think anybody disagrees with the fact that when you're doing your business, whatever that happens to be, then, you know, nobody ought to be looking at you.
Medicated Pete, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with these surveillance cameras in the bathroom, despite the fact that, according to the building owners, they were there to deter vandalism or to catch vandals because they had had a pattern of problems in this restroom?
It's a tough issue.
What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's definitely an invasion of privacy, you know. I mean,
high pitch, Eric. Let me ask you this. Here's one problem I do have with this lawsuit, and I want to get Scott's take on this as well. So 60 people signed on to this lawsuit, 60 employees, including many children are signed on to this lawsuit now because they had like a take your kids to work day. And so obviously it's sexier if you can somehow lump children into this lawsuit, you know, to say that, oh, maybe a pedophile was lurking, maybe they put the camera in. Do you find it offensive, though, that children are even signed on to this lawsuit?
I mean, you know, like, still, it's an invasion of privacy. And if it, listen, if it, like, you brought up, here's another good point. Bring your child to work day. If a child needs to go to the bathroom, let the parents go into the bathroom with the child and stay in there till the child is done.
But what does that have to do with whether or not surveillance cameras were trained on the either the common area or the toilet area?
I mean, because when you go in the common area or the toilet area, that's an invasion of privacy still.
So you feel even if the cameras weren't trained inside the stall, if they were trained on more of the public area, for example, where you stand by the sink, you still think it's an invasion of privacy?
Absolutely.
Scott, let me ask you this. Do we know, are we talking about potentially a rogue employee that put these up there, you know, to try and get some, you know, some thrills after work by looking at the video? Or if the management truly put them in there to, you know, as an orchestrated effort to say, we need this security measure?
Yeah, from what I can tell, looking at the allegations in the complaint, this is not a rogue employee, because one of the other defendants in the case, along with the building manager and the building owner, is the company that actually installed the cameras. So, you know, as the lawyers like to say, that would evidence, you know, some premeditation here about a deliberate effort to try to deter or stop vandalism by putting the cameras in. And, you know, John, your listeners should know that in certain states, you know, New York, for example, and Connecticut, I mean, there are actually laws against employers putting cameras in where employees are going to have a locker room, you know, or where they're going to have a changing room or some kind of other lounge. I mean, there's actually laws on the books to stop employers from doing this.
That's a great point. This is a state by state issue.
That's right.
And as you mentioned, New York and Connecticut have acted, but New Jersey has not.
That's right.
Hence this lawsuit.
Right.
And I want to get your take on this, Medicated Pete. The lead plaintiff in the case is a former employee who claims that she developed a phobia of public bathrooms after she learned that the cameras were in there. She says that this forced her to avoid using the bathroom while working, that she would actually not eat or drink because she was so afraid to go to the bathroom at work. Your thoughts on those claims?
Well, maybe she felt it invaded her privacy to the point where she feels everywhere she goes, there'll be surveillance on her, you know. So maybe she developed that phobia because of the invasion, you know.
That argument, Scott, from the plaintiff seems like it could turn into a big dollar reward for her if she can actually show that her whole life was altered by knowing that there were cameras in there. I imagine she would get pretty attacked on cross-examination, but...
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, as is often the case in a lot of cases, you know, this will to a certain extent be a battle of the experts if it goes forward. She'll have to bring in some expert testimony to actually demonstrate, you know, what are the extent of her physical setbacks, what are the extent of her psychological setbacks, what's the impact. I mean, she'll have to bring in some experts, the defendants will bring in some experts. I mean, this is not going to be, if it goes forward, you know, this won't be necessarily an easy case. I mean, you know, employers in particular, you know, look, you're running a building, right? I mean, we're sitting in a building. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that makes it more expensive to run a building is if people vandalize the bathrooms, you know, whether they do it intentionally or not. So employers are looking for ways, obviously, to cut down on their costs. I mean, it's not that there isn't any interest here on the part of the employers. The question is whether they went about it the right way.
Mike in Ohio, you're on Lieberman Live. Mike.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, just a couple of quick things. You know, when does the invasion stop? It's bad enough the government invades our cell phones, computers, what have you. Now you have employers who are invading your privacy, trying to take a shit. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I'm telling you, John, the more technology we have, the more lawsuits we're going to continue to get.
High pitch, Eric, is it unrealistic to have any sense of privacy anymore?
No. I mean, you brought up a good point before. We're in an office building. There's no cameras in these bathrooms. If you go to courthouses, if you go to airports, there's no cameras in the bathroom. Why is this building in New Jersey? Why do they have a camera in their bathroom?
Medicated Pete, if you were sitting on this jury, would you have an easier time letting the employer, letting the building off, if it comes out that indeed these cameras were only trained on common areas, by the sinks, for example, or, you know, by the door, if they weren't trained in the actual stalls or on the toilets?
Common areas, yes. I'd be more lenient. But, you know, private areas, obviously.
And I venture to say, Scott, that that's going to be a bulk of their cases. Look, they weren't on people while they went to the bathroom. They were on these common areas so we could get a glimpse of who might be in there with a spray can if they were vandalizing the place or what.
I mean, there's no surveillance cameras in bathrooms on airplanes, so why was there a surveillance camera in the bathroom in that office building?
And the question, you know, it's going to come down to a credibility contest. I mean, who knows whether or not they have any tapes actually of where the cameras were trained or where they weren't trained. So what do you have? You got a credibility contest, right? You got who shot John. Anytime you're in a credibility contest, that's a tough place to be when you're in front of a jury.
Stu in Connecticut, you're on Lieberman Live. Stu.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So listen, That smoke detector camera is specifically designed as a covert camera, okay? It's used widely in the industry. I've installed several of them. The fact of the matter is we have to determine what is the expectation of privacy, first of all. You know, we have to figure that out. Secondly, you know, we were always taught, you know, I don't know if it's different in New Jersey, but up here in Connecticut, we're not allowed to put them in bathrooms for this very reason.
Right. Well, Scott pointed that out. It's actually illegal in Connecticut. It has not been outlawed in New Jersey the way that it has in Connecticut. What are we talking about here, Scott, in terms of damages? I assume the jury is going to make that determination when it goes back.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, the jury's going to take a look at this. And, you know, whenever you're in this kind of setting, the jury's going to listen to the evidence. Hopefully they're going to say, you know, we think the case is worth maybe zero. Maybe they won't be offended by it. I actually think that's highly doubtful. And if they think the conduct is outrageous enough, maybe they'll think that punitive damages are warranted.
Medicated Pete, if you're on that jury, what do you award this group of 60 or so plaintiffs? How much money?
That's a heavy, heavy award. Because I feel they're being invaded, you know. So I mean,
so if you had to put a dollar figure on what you would award these plaintiffs, what would the dollar figure be?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, it's hard to say because it would be unrealistic. But I mean, put it this way, they'll get a nice little reward, you know.
High pitch. How much would you award these plaintiffs in this case?
I mean, just like Pete said, it's a difficult case. It's a difficult case. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, they would get a nice settlement.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you, though. The task of the jury would be to assign a dollar figure to this case, what the plaintiffs are entitled to. How much?
I would say maybe, honestly, I'm not sure.
Troy in Florida, you're on Lieberman Live. Troy.
I just want to know what the difference is between a peeping Tom and an employer. If someone did this privately, they would go to jail. But if you call yourself an employer and you put a camera inside a smoke detector because you want to cut your losses, you're an employer trying to do the right thing and you're not a pervert. What's the difference?
Scott, what's the difference?
I think that's a great comment, actually. I mean, it's hard to know exactly what the difference is in this particular situation. It's hard to know, you know, under what circumstances a prosecutor is going to bring criminal charges or is it going to bring criminal charges. I think it's an excellent comment. My guess is that here, the local law enforcement didn't think their criminal charges were, you know, particularly warranted, but I can't say that the caller makes a bad point. It's a good point.
What, Pete?
That's a tough one. The difference between a pervert and an employee. You know?
I know, but I have you here to give answers. You can't just keep saying it's a tough one. I want answers. So what would you award if you were a juror? How much?
Maybe $500,000, maybe.
Sounds low to me. Sounds awfully low because you're talking about 60 people or so. Okay. I mean, regardless, we will follow this case. And Scott, you will keep us up to date as this case winds its way back through the New Jersey courts. I want to get back to our breaking news off the top of the program, which was this judge ruling, the first big ruling, in terms of the NSA gathering of information. So, Scott, let me ask you this. The federal judge rules. I was waiting for a swish sound effect, but that's okay. That was what that pause was, Scott. Sometimes in live radio, it just doesn't happen. Do we have the swish? Let's do it. And again. Let's do it one more time, Brandon.
Yeah.
There we go. Scott, how important is this federal judge ruling that the NSA surveillance program that collects millions of people's information may be unconstitutional? Seems like a big ruling.
Yeah, look, there are a number of lawsuits that have attacked exactly what the NSA is doing. This is the first concrete ruling that we have in a lawsuit. You know, I think the NSA had a bad day today. People are going to sit up and take notice. You know, this is a ruling by a you know, this is a ruling by a Bush appointee. So this is a ruling by a judge appointed by a Republican president. They're usually sort of more on the side of the government as opposed to less on the side of the government when it comes to law enforcement. But, you know, what this judge is really saying is, look, you know, when you get a warrant based upon specific information that some crime, that there's probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed. What the judge here is saying is that, look, you're hoovering up, you're vacuuming up all of this data, and the government hasn't come forward to show that there's a specific terrorist act.
Am I reading this right, that this judge is saying he believes this is unconstitutional, but he's going to give the government an opportunity to appeal his ruling so the ruling doesn't go into effect. In effect, nothing happens right now.
That's right. Excellent point. So what the judge has said is, I rule that this is unconstitutional as I understand the Fourth Amendment, but I will, quote unquote, stay my ruling pending the government's right to take an appeal to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals.
High pitch. Scott brought up a great point, and that is that this judge is a G.W. Bush appointee, a Republican appointee, and oftentimes we think of Republican appointees as a lot more sympathetic to anti-terror activities. What do you make of this?
What do I make of it? I hated Bush, and Bush was the worst president ever.
But the significance, what Scott is saying, the significance that a judge appointed by a Republican president is now ruling that what the NSA is doing is unconstitutional makes it that much more impactful and potentially significant.
Still, it's invading our privacy.
Medicated Pete, do you see what I'm getting at here and what Scott pointed out, the significance of a Republican appointee making this ruling?
Yes.
This isn't some liberal judge. So this isn't, somebody can't come back and say, oh, the liberal media is spinning this again. Oh, it was a liberal judge. Of course he's going to say it's unconstitutional. Your take.
Yes. I mean, you know, invasion of privacy. I mean,
Scott, I'm going to give you the last word. This is probably going to play out for months and months.
Yeah, look, this isn't the first lawsuit. It's not the last lawsuit. We'll have to see how this winds its way, you know, through the court. But I have every reason to believe that the government did not have a good day. They will sit up and take notice, and they will decide exactly what they're going to do next to defend what everybody thinks is a reasonable way to defeat terrorism or fight terrorism here at home.
Scott Vernick from the prestigious firm of Fox Rothschild out of Philadelphia. Thanks for making the trip up. We will definitely have you back.
Thank you.
These two I'm not so sure of, but we probably will have to have them back as well. Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Scott covered the NSA for us, and he also covered that issue of bathroom surveillance. I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, I will name my Lieber Maniac of the Week. That case, too, has to do with snooping in bathrooms. And then you've been waiting for it for 53 minutes. You only have to wait a few more for a major announcement coming from this program. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Live.
No comment. That's all I have to say.
Worldwide.
The pitch heard around the world.
Breaking late.
The Howard 100 News Department.
Call 888-STERN-101. Lieberman Live. We'll be back. Howard 101. Howard 101, a news show like you've never heard. Howard 100 News presents Lieberman Live.
It is that time of the show. We do it every week, and we call it the Lieber Maniac of the Week.
It's the Lieber Maniac of the Week.
And in tonight's Lieber Maniac segment, apropos to what we have been discussing, privacy in bathrooms, there's a guy who worked, past tense, at a library at Florida Atlantic University. The guy's now been charged with 13 counts of video voyeurism. His name, Seth Thompson, his age 40. He's accused of filming students masturbating in a campus bathroom and then uploading the videos to online porn sites. This is from police documents. Quote, Thompson stated that he initially began recording these videos after seeing similar videos online, which gave him the impression that there are people who enjoy viewing videos showing males masturbating and urinating. The guy apparently didn't try to hide too much because the videos were posted online under the screen name Jerking_Bud. The investigation began in August after a student told cops that he discovered a 30-second clip of himself urinating online. Police searched Thompson's home allegedly that month, and they say that he admitted to secretly filming students. Shortly after that, he resigned. Probably a good call. Seth Thompson, our Lieber Maniac of the week. We are off the air for the next 2 weeks, but our big announcement, folks, you've asked for it, and we will deliver it, and that is more Lieberman Live. In the new year, beginning January 6th, that's a Monday, you will be able to hear this program daily on Howard 101 throughout the day. Stay tuned to howardstern.com for more information and to Howard 100 and Howard 101 for the very latest information, so you will have everything that you need to equip yourselves to get ready for the new Lieberman Live program, which launches January 6th on this very channel. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to my Whack Pack panel. Yes, I pitch.
HPEric71 at Twitter, and more interviews from me.
And Pete, where can people follow you on Twitter?
I'm Medicated Pete on Twitter.
Thank you, Pete.
Looking for some gigs, man.
Yet another incomplete answer from Medicated Pete. I can't take it anymore. We got to close out this broadcast. I'm on Twitter at Reporter John, at Reporter J-O-N. Have a wonderful New Year. Stay safe. We will see you on January 6th. Good night.